Thank you for joining Dayspring Christian Church today. Our aim is to share the transforming love and power of Jesus Christ. Please enjoy a Sunday sermon already in progress.
I've been looking at and thinking about and praying about this, the transforming power of Jesus Christ. And I wish I had, you know, several weeks to just look at the transforming power of Jesus Christ, his work in the lives of people, the examples that we've seen within scripture. You know, as a church, we've had our mission statement as Dayspring Christian Church to share the transforming love and power of Jesus Christ by nurturing authentic relationships. We came to the understanding and realization, the conviction that through Jesus Christ, we encounter his transforming love, and there's a transforming power that we have access to, and that's displayed. And the reality is, we see this all through scripture, that with anyone that was sick or had a demon, who were lame, those who were blind or dumb, those who were caught even in sin or were living sinful lives, after they had an encounter with Jesus, they were never the same again. They were never the same again. I looked at the word transform. The word transform means to change in composition or structure, to change the outward form or appearance of, to change in character or condition. And I love this one, to cause a cell to undergo genetic transformation, right? A change takes place. Something happens. Something is different. It's not the same as before. And when we encounter Jesus, life is never the same anymore. It's never the same anymore. There's something that's different in our lives. There's things that are different in our lives, and we're never the same anymore. And things should never be the same anymore. And we can see this through scripture, that it doesn't matter how long people had gone through the condition that they had gone through, how often they had struggled with the particular things they'd gone through, how others may have ostracized them or isolated them because of what they went through. When Jesus showed up, things changed in their lives. When Jesus showed up, things became different. When they encountered Jesus Christ, no matter what had taken place before, it changed the directory of their life. It changed the focus of their life. It changed their very body, their very outlook, their very society, their very community, their very family. Everything changed. And I want us to look at Mark chapter 5. And Mark chapter 5 is one of the encounters, these encounters of Jesus as he's in Jerusalem for a Jewish feast. Mark chapter 5, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to 17. Mark chapter 5, verse 1 to 17. And I have to give credit where credit is due, because, as I was planning on preaching on the transforming power of Jesus, our staff meetings are feeding ground for sermons, right? Our staff meetings, they're a feeding ground. They're just fertile ground. We have our devotions and staff meeting. They can, go from 5 minutes to an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, 2 hours, depending how the Lord is leading and speaking. When you got, pastors that are in the same room and God is showing them different things, if you have a pen and paper, just start taking notes, because God's speaking to you about particular things. And as Jayden gave a devotion this past Thursday, when I was already looking at talking of something else pertaining to the power of Christ, God just kept hitting me and just kept prompting my spirit to kind of look into this a bit further, as we were talking about it and staff meeting. And from what I understand, this is a conversation that Pastor Hugh had with someone else. And so God was just stirring for this word to come forth this morning to speak to us. And I really believe that God is going to heal this morning. I believe that God is going to deliver this morning. I believe that some of the things that some of you have been dealing with for years, or going through for years, or battling for years, today it ends in the name of Jesus. Today starts the process of turnaround. Do you hear me? today starts it. I know what you've gone through. We're going to look at that. I know what you've experienced. We're going to talk about that. But today it stops in the name of Jesus. I declare that over your life. I declare it in the name of Jesus. And so let's look at John chapter 5. Have your Bible, have your phone. Look at it for yourself because I want you to see it. I was going to share my screen, but I want you to see it for yourself in your own Bible, YouVersion Bible, your own manual Bible, paper Bible. Underline the things that God speaks to you about. Highlight it in the name of Jesus. Let's read it together. I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. The healing at the pool on the Sabbath. And verse 1 says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, right? The blind, the lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am going, another steps down before me." Now, understand this. During that time, there was awareness that the angel of the Lord would come and stir the water. Some felt that it was, once a year or twice a year. Some thought it was connected to certain feasts or certain Jewish holidays during that time. And so were the lame and the blind and those that were sick would be brought there in preparation, waiting for the angel of the Lord to come. And as the water began to be stirred, it will literally be stirred. If they got pushed in or if they got helped into the water, they would be healed automatically. And so they're saying here that this area was filled with the invalids. And Jesus now comes and says to the man, "Do you want to be healed?" And the man responds, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool. I have no one to help me. When the water is stirred up, while I'm going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now, that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is a Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now, the man who had healed did not know who was healed, did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this is why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." The first thing I noticed with this scripture in verse chapter 5 is the man was there who had been, it was an invalid for 38 years. This man suffered from a paralytic condition for a long time. And apparently was frequently at the pool, and he was hoping to be healed. And it was such a long time that we can come to the conclusion that his hope had been so long that it turned into disappointment after 38 years. 38 years. 38 years is a long time to suffer. 38 years. And we don't know if the man was born this way. We knew that Jesus didn't mention that, and John doesn't mention that. We just know that for 38 years, he was in this condition. Jesus, towards the end of the scripture, talks to the man about going and not sitting anymore. So the worst condition doesn't come on him. It gives an indication that maybe the man was involved in something and this condition was caused. Maybe it could have been through because of the sin of someone else or because of the involvement in particular sins that this thing happened to him. We don't know. We don't know. All we know is that he suffered for 38 years and he knew where to go. He knew what to do. You know, as a staff, we began to break this down. This man was there for a very long time, longer than how Jesus had lived. Jesus at this time was about, 32, 33 years old, and this man had been there for 38 years. He was there, he was going to this pool before Jesus was even born. He had no family that we can see, no friends to help him at least. There was no one to help him. Maybe they started to help at year one. Maybe they were all for him at year one or year two. They're with him. Come on, we're going to take you. This is going to work. And, maybe at year two, they were with him and they were helping and they're supporting him. But man, as year three came on, I can't do it. I'm not going to be in town. I can't help you any longer. I can't be with you. And then he finds himself alone. We don't know how he started, but we see how he ends up and how he ends up. No one is there to help him. And maybe he came during every particular Jewish holiday hoping maybe it was this one time of the year that he came at the beginning of the week or the early in the morning so that he'd have a situation. Or maybe he just got to the point where he said, it's no point for me to go home anymore. Let me just park myself right here and watch and hope and try and attempt. We get an indication that he made so many attempts because he says to Jesus, every time I make an attempt, someone goes before me because I have no one to help me. How long have you been suffering this morning? How long have you been going through the pain that you've been going through the sickness that you've been going through, dealing with the thoughts, the dreams, been going through the condition, the habits, the struggle? How long has it been for you? Some that you've been born with it, some, through life, it's a condition that came on, but you can stop for a moment and think about the years. It's not just, a week or two or three or four. For some, it's 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or more years. And this man had been there for 38 years. Sometimes when we think of the time and duration, we can look at our children and think, man, like how old our kids are. We remember back at, year zero when they were just born and look how big they are now. And all the time that you went through their baby years, the infant years, the toddler years, the preschool years, the school years, the middle school years, the high school years, the graduations. And now maybe they're married. Now they probably have their own family, whatever it is. But you can think of the years that have passed. And as you think of those years, think of this man that had been there for 38 years, had this condition for 38 years. It's a long time to suffer for anybody. A second thing I noticed in John chapter 5 is verse 6. The Bible says, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? Do you want to get well? I first thing I noticed is that Jesus saw him. Jesus saw him there. You may be thinking that Jesus is busy and he's preoccupied, but he sees you and he knows you and he's very much aware of the things that you have been going through and the things that you're facing. He sees you year after year. He saw you at year one. He saw you at year two. He saw you at year five. He saw you at year 13. He saw you at year 23. He saw you at year 32. Now he sees you at year 38. Jesus saw the man and he knew that he had been there for a long time. He knows right where you are and what you've been dealing with. He knows how long you've been going through it. Don't think that Jesus is unaware, and how often you may be feeling as though God is not aware of God is just sitting there just watching, not doing anything about it. The Bible says that while this man was suffering, Jesus knew how long he had been there for. Jesus knew how long he had been there for. And so we have to be aware that God is aware of where we are at every time, every situation you go. Say that to yourself right now. Father, I know that you are aware of what I'm going through. Father, I know that you can see what I'm going through. Often we feel as though God is not aware of where we are, what we're going through, or the pain, the things that we experience. But he is aware this morning. The Bible says that Jesus saw the man. He saw him, and he knew about the man. He knew about the condition. He knew how long. He knew what he'd been going through. He knew. 1 Peter 3:12 says, For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. That the eyes of the Lord have been on you. Yes, you've been going through a tough time. Yes, you've been going through challenges. But the eyes of the Lord have been on you, and his ears have been attentive to what it is that you are going through. But the Bible says that the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. They may look like they're prospering. They may look like things are going well. But the Bible says that the Lord is against those who do evil. So let them flash their money. Let them act like things are fun and fine. Let them go with the way that they're going. And you can look at them and maybe envy their prosperity and the wealth things that they're going through. But the Father says that his face is against those who do evil, but his eyes are on you. His eyes are on you. Now, I know the battle is the fact that he sees me and he knows he's going what I'm going through. But in my situation, he's not doing anything. In my situation, he's not responding. In my situation, as his eyes are on me and he's listening to my prayer, it feels like he's not answering my prayer. Notice that Jesus knew what he knew about the man and could see what he saw when he looked at the man, yet he asked the man if he wanted to get well. Jesus saw the man. He knew what he saw. He knew the man, knew that he was paralyzed. And based on seeing what he saw and looking at the man and knowing what he knew, he still asked the man, do you want to be healed? Do you want to get well? Some of us would have said, what are you thinking, Jesus? Like, come on, like, look at me here. Look what I've been going through all these years. Like, duh, Jesus, come on. Isn't it obvious? Common sense will tell you, Jesus, that I've been sitting here. Common sense will tell you, Jesus, that I can't walk. This week I heard about a lady who was approached a prayer team for prayer, and as they were praying, the Lord had discerned in the prayer team that she had a particular habit, and they asked her, you know, the Lord is showing us that, you know, that you're struggling this area, in that area, you know, do you want to be free of that particular habit? And she said, no. She says, no, because I'm so used to it. I'm so used to it. She told the prayer team who were about to pray for her freedom, no, don't pray for that. I don't want to be free of that. Because she said that she's so used to it that she didn't want to pray for it. She didn't want to get rid of it. So I can understand Jesus' question. Where is your mind on the sickness that you have? Where is your mind on the struggle that you're going through? Where is your mind? What are you thinking about the condition that you're facing? Is there something you want, or are you good? Is it something you want, or are you just okay sitting beside this pool? Are you okay just making these efforts, and are you okay just watching everybody else? Are you okay with your story that you tell everybody? Well, I have no one to push me into the pool. Everybody who asks you, hey, this is the fourth time I've seen you. Well, I have no one to push me. What do you want? Where is your mindset on what you're going through? Are you used to the doctor's diagnosis? Are you used to the medication? Are you used to feeling that way in the morning or at night? Are you used to not having the sleep? Are you used to going in front of the computer? Are you so used to it? And Jesus asked the question, do you want to be healed? Because some people like the pain. Some people like the condition because they get attention when they're in their condition. They like it because it's a story. They get attention and they get to talk about it over and over. You know, I remember one of our kids, you know, when they were small, like, you know, if they got hurt or they're crying for some reason, they would find you and then make sure that you could see them crying. And even if you asked, you know, is everything okay? And cried a bit more, and then you left to go to the room, this child would follow you in silence until you got to the next room. And then when you turned around and saw the child would start crying all over again just because the child wanted you to see. Sometimes in our condition, we are the same way. We're the same way. We just love the attention. We just want to make sure someone come up and say, oh, everything's going to be okay. And even though they've said it's going to be fine, everything's good, you know, hush. Oh, we just want more. We just want more. So we're so used to the condition. And I know you're thinking, Pastor White, how could somebody be thinking this way? How could somebody be like this? But as you're listening, God is speaking to you because you've been so used to it. You've been under that condition for such a long time. You've been going through that habit for such a long time. You've been feeling and entertaining those emotions for such a long time. You're so used to it. That's become part of you now. That even when you're asked, you know, Jesus is asking you, do you want to be healed? Do you want it? Do you want the change? Do you want the transformation? Do you want him to move? Do you want to get well? Do you want to be free? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be delivered? Where are you at with this thing? And verse 7, the man answered Jesus, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water stirs up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me. Do you notice what just happened here? Do you notice that this man didn't even answer Jesus's question? Do you know that it was a yes or no question? It was a question that had a yes or no response. All he had to say was, Jesus, yes, I want to be healed. No, I don't want to be healed. But yet this man goes ahead. Jesus asked him, do you want to get well? Do you want to be healed? The man didn't answer the question. The crippled man assumed that Jesus knew the things that work in this pool. And now he's going to explain to Jesus as to why it was impossible for him to be healed. Now he wants to tell Jesus, this is why I can't. I know you're offering me healing, but I'm going to tell you why it's impossible. And he started to give this explanation. Jesus, you know, I just can't. I'm not sure if you're aware, but, you know, I'm here, but no one's here to help me. No one's here to put me in. And every effort I make, someone steps in before me. Every effort I make, and he gives his explanation, and some might even say this excuse. He sits there. There's no way for me to get well. Nobody's here to help me. Nobody. I'm not well because it's those selfish people that you see, Jesus, that keep walking past me day after day. None of them are helping me. It's those ignorant people, Jesus, who step ahead of me. People who came here and saw me early in the morning, and they all walk past me, and no one is helping me. Look at them, Jesus. Look at them. No one is here to help me. but they will not help me. They walk by me. They even comment on my condition, but no one is here to help me, and I can't do this myself, so I'll just sit here and feel guilty. I'll just sit here and feel my pity because no one is here to help me. Why has he gone from, why was he so far from the edge of the pool is the question I have. If after the years that you've been there, after year three or four, no one has helped you, why are you so far from the pool? I would be caught straight on the edge of the pool and not wait for anybody that could just roll myself over. And people are pushing back past me. Let them push me into the pool. And hopefully someone will raise me up in the pool, or I'll be so healed I'll stand up myself. We don't know if he tried all those particular strategies of what to do. We don't know who he asked. We don't know who he paid or who he bribed. We don't know. But now in his 38th year, it seems that he has settled for pity. Jesus, this is impossible. Jesus, this is impossible for me to be healed because no one is here to help me. It's impossible for me to be free because my mother didn't breastfeed me long enough. Jesus, it's impossible, Father, because my dad wasn't there. He never helped or assisted me. It's impossible, Jesus, because the doctor gave me the wrong diagnosis. It's impossible, Jesus, and it's my spouse's fault because they never gave me any affection or sexual intimacy. You see, it's my job's fault, Jesus, because they never recognized me or paid me enough. It's my family's fault because they never supported me. It's the government's fault because they took away my financial benefit. It's someone else's fault. Someone else's fault. And Jesus asked one question this morning to you. This morning, do you want to get well? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be free? I know how long you've been there. I put your response is, Jesus, I've been here for 38 years. I've been struggling for such a long time. I've tried, I've fasted, I've prayed. He's asking you again, do you want to be free? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be delivered in his name? Do you want to get well? Well, only if it's God's will. Only if it's God's will. Jesus is asking you the question, do you want to be healed? And our response is, well, if it's the Lord's will, only if Jesus wants it. He's asking you the question, do you want it to end this morning? Do you want it to stop this morning? Do you want to be free this morning? Do you want it to stop? Do you want the enemy to push back? Do you want the pain to go away? Do you want the sickness to cease and desist? Do you want it to stop? Do you want your situation to change? Because this crippled man could not see any solution. Any solution, and expressed it to Jesus, I have no one to help me. I have no one to help me. And even though God is there and he stirs the water, not even he is helping me. And sometimes we can be so caught in our situation that we can't even hear the voice of God. We can't even see Jesus beside us, that he is asking us if we want the healing, that we go back to the same story, talking about our same condition, going through all that we're facing, rather than thinking about that question and responding to that question. Verse 8 and 9, Jesus responds, though. Bible says, Jesus said to him, get up, take up your bed or your mat, and walk. And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed, and he walked. And this was on the Sabbath day. And maybe he thought Jesus was going to say, you know what, I'll be your new friend. Maybe he thought Jesus was going to say, hey, do you want to be healed? And he's like, well, Jesus, I have no one to help me. And Jesus would say, you know, I'll be that person for you now. I'll stay here as long as you need. I'm going to stay here to make sure, you know, I'll get on my football equipment. We'll knock down people. I'll make sure you get in that water. Maybe he thought Jesus was going to be his new best friend and Jesus was going to commit to be able to help him get in the water. But the Bible says that Jesus didn't even answer the man's, when the man didn't answer Jesus' question, Jesus didn't respond to the man's explanation. Jesus ignored everything he said, looked at this man and said, get up, take up your bed and walk. Jesus commanded this man in the midst of his excuses, in the midst of his condition, in the midst of the years that he's been there, in the midst of the self-pity, Jesus commanded him, get up, take up your bed and walk. Get up, take up your bed and walk. Yeah, but Jesus, come on. Like you know how to try. You know the effort. You know the condition. You know the stress, the anxiety. He says to you, get up, take up your bed and walk. Jesus told this man to do what he could not do. Jesus told this man to do what was impossible for this man to do. Church, you got to hear me this morning. Being paralyzed, it was impossible for him to rise. Being paralyzed, it was impossible for him to rise up. Being paralyzed, it was impossible for him to take up anything, more or less his mat. Being paralyzed, it was impossible for him to even walk. And at this moment, Jesus challenged this man to believe in the impossible. Listen to my voice, Jesus said. Get up, take up your bed, and walk. In Jesus' name, get up. Take up the thing that you've been lying on for all these years, that you've been depending on for comfort, that you've been depending on to rest on, and begin to do what you are not able to do in the power of my name. Hallelujah! 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 Matthew 19, verse 26, Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. Come on, church, listen to me this morning. With God, all things are possible. All things. Come on, say that with me. All things. Come on, tell him, Father, with you, all things are possible. Jesus, with you, all things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, tell that to the devil this morning. In Jesus' name, all things are possible. All things are possible. And Jesus speaks to the man, and he speaks into his spirit, and he speaks to the condition, and he says, get up, listen to my voice, get up. Listen to my voice. I'm the Lord. I'm the Savior. I love you more than you ever know. I want you to be free. Listen to my voice. Listen to my voice. Get up. Take up your bed and begin to do what seems to be impossible to you. Do it in the power of my name. It's easy to imagine that this man's first reaction could have been like, I can't do that, Lord. I can't even try. What are you talking about? Yet there's something wonderful that prompted this man. And he probably thought, man, if this guy tells me to do this, I think I'm just going to try it. As he began to believe and heard the words of Jesus, as he began to feel strength come into his muscles that were dead, the Bible says he began to get up. Immediately he began to get up. He responded to the words of faith, and there was something in him that was drawn to the words of Jesus, and his body responded, his mind responded, his faith responded. In Jesus' name. You see, we don't have to wait on someone else. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. All authority, I'm speaking to someone's spirit this morning. Jesus said, all authority has been given to him on heaven and on earth. And whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And sometimes whatever sicknesses we are going through, we have to remind the sickness and tell that sickness that is no longer welcomed. that is no longer welcomed in the name of Jesus. Some of you this morning have to tell the sickness, have to tell the condition, the habit, that this house is no longer the house for you. This body is no longer the body for you in the name of Jesus. I choose to get up. I choose to take up my bed and walk. Some of you this morning need to tell Satan, Satan, I am not your home. Go ahead and tell him this morning. Satan, I am not your home. Sickness, I am not your home. I don't want you any longer. I want to be free in Jesus' name. I want to be healed in Jesus' name. I want to be delivered in Jesus' name. I don't want this in my life. It's time to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, tell depression this morning, I don't want you any longer. Tell pornography, you are no longer welcome in this house in Jesus' name. Tell diabetes, this is not your body any longer. This is not your home any longer. I am getting up, I am taking up my bed, and I am walking in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, tell that unforgiving spirit, this is not your home anymore. Tell that cancer, in the name of Jesus, I want to be free. I want to be healed. I don't want you any longer. This is no longer your home, and I don't want you in my life anymore. Tell that lustful spirit, in the name of Jesus, I don't want you anymore. Go from me in Jesus' name. I want to be free in Jesus' name. In Jesus, tell that diabetes, this body belongs to the Lord, and I don't want you. Tell that high blood pressure, I don't want you in this body anymore. I evict you in the name of Jesus. Tell that fear, you are no longer welcome here in the name of Jesus. You are no longer welcome here in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, say it in the name of Jesus. Say it out loud, fear, you are no longer welcome in this house. You're no longer welcome in this house. I bind you and I command you to go from me right now in Jesus' name. I will get up. I will take up my mat and I will walk in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is this morning, tell that spirit of arthritis in Jesus' name, I command you to go. You are no longer welcome here. I want to be healed. I want to be free. Tell that pain in Jesus' name, you are no longer welcome in this body. You're no longer welcome in this body. In the name of Jesus, I am getting up. I am taking up my bed and I am walking in the name of Jesus. And the devil sometimes doesn't want to go. He wants to keep you crippled. He wants to keep you bound and depressed. He wants to keep you addicted. He wants to keep you in unforgiveness. Mark chapter 1, when Jesus was starting his ministry, the Bible says that Jesus went to church. And as he went to church on that particular day, a man with an unclean spirit, the demon began to speak out and said, Jesus, what are you doing here? We've been so comfortable in this body. We've been so comfortable with the sin this man's doing. We've been so comfortable with the habits. We've been so comfortable with the disease and the sickness. What are you doing here? What have you to do with us? What are you doing here, Jesus? Leave us alone. The demon wanted to stay longer. Don't mess with us. We want to stay right where we are. Mess with you know, stop. You know, we want to continue to mess with the man's mind. We want to continue to mess with his emotions and his body. But Jesus is telling you this morning, through the power of his name, the transforming power that is in his name, get up, take up your bed, and walk. And every demonic spirit, every demonic stronghold has to lose its grip in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that spirit that paralyzed this man had to go immediately. Immediately. And when you encounter Jesus Christ, you will never be the same again. You will never be the same again. If you do not know Jesus Christ this morning as your Lord and Savior, when you encounter Jesus, you will never be the same again. Some of us on Zoom this morning, we can witness this morning that when we met Jesus Christ, we have never been the same again. In Jesus' name, Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 10, it says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were once walking and following the course of this world, following the prince and the powers of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we're nature of the children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Then Paul says, but God in his riches and his mercy, but God stepped in. But God, you see, we were in our trespasses and sins, but God stepped in and he turned things around, and he was so great and rich in his mercy because of his great love for us. Even while we were dead in our trespasses and our sins, he made us alive unto Jesus Christ. And it's by his grace, by his transforming power, that we are saved and raised up unto him and seated now in heavenly places with him. In the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God. And he says, it's for grace you have been saved through faith. I know you've been going through for a long time, but God, who is rich in mercy, but God, who is rich in grace, but God, who hears you, but God, who knows, but God, who says to you, take up your mat and walk, but God, who sees you by the pool, but God, who is aware of it all, still by the richness of his mercy, sent his son Jesus Christ so that we could be free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Say that this morning. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Say this morning, because the Son sets me free, I am free indeed. I am free indeed in the name of Jesus. Come on, say it louder. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. Jesus, because you have set me free, I am free indeed. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name, I believe that some people right now on Zoom, you are being delivered as you are saying it. Some of you right now, the habit is broken in the name of whatever stronghold has been there, the grip has been loosed in the name of Jesus. And I bind that spirit and I command that spirit to leave you. I command that spirit to leave your home right now and to go to the pit of hell from whence it came. You are free in the name of Jesus. I speak to that spirit of pornography. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command you to come out of that man in Jesus' name and go to the pit of hell and the abyss where Jesus commands you to go in Jesus' name. Someone with a sickness this morning, in the name of Jesus, he is setting you free. He is healing you right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, for whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And the Bible says the man got up, he took up his bed, and he began to walk. He got up, he took up his bed, and began to walk. Oh, what a condition it must have been for him to look at his legs, you know, for after such a long time, looking at his legs stretched out, not being able to move a muscle, to be able to stand now and to look at his legs and to walk and to maybe walk for the first time in 38 years as he begins to learn to walk all over again. And the man begins to get up and realizes that if I'm able to get up and walk, I'm also able to obey the next command and to take up my mat. See, he didn't just get up and walk away. He says, man, if Jesus' first command to get up was able to allow me to walk, now I can have the ability to take up my mat. And I can now begin to carry my mat. And the mat that he used to lay down on for 38 years, now he is carrying the same mat as a testimony to everybody. Look at the mats. I'm carrying the same mat that had my sickness on it, the same mat that had me bound, the same mat that became so comfortable and cozy, the same mat. He's now carrying the mat. He picked it up. He stood up. He got up. He picked up his mat and he begins to walk. He begins to do exactly what God told him to do. He didn't question it any longer. He didn't battle back and forth. Let me go back before the Lord. Is it really the Lord's will? I'm not too sure. He wasn't contemplating. He just obeyed. He got up. He went down, picked up his mat, and he began to walk. And the freedom that God had already set for his life, whatever Jesus spoke over him. And right now, this morning, there's some of you that are broken. You are bound. You are in sickness and disease. And Jesus is saying the same thing to you. Get up, take up your mat, and begin to walk in the name of Jesus. Tell your mat that you no longer need it. In Jesus' name. And don't hand the mat to anybody else. Don't hand the mat to someone else. Go to the next person who's lame and tell them, hey, I'm going to repeat to you the same words that were said to me. Get up, take up your bed and walk. And go to the next person and through the power of your testimony, tell them to get up and take up their mat and walk. And no longer sit back passive waiting for someone else to push you in. Come before the Lord your God. He is waiting for you to come. He's waiting for you to want it. He's waiting for you to respond to it. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. But there's a warning here. There's a warning. As I close, we see here that in John chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, it says, now this was on the day of the Sabbath. Who told Jesus to heal this man on the day of the Sabbath? Who told this man to have faith on the day of the Sabbath? This Bible says on the day of the Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who they saw, who is now healed, carrying his mat, it is a Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to take up your bed. It's a Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to take up your mat. They saw the man, maybe the same ones who passed him, maybe the same one with the religious eyes who didn't care about the man. Now when he is healed and he's walking, they're concerned about him carrying his testimony. They're concerned about the words of his testimony. They're concerned about how much fame he's going to get and what people are going to say. And that they're concerned now with this man. And the Bible says that they were so much concerned about the law of the Sabbath than they were about the healing man, the testimony. A testimony. You see, the Sabbath was like our Sundays. It was a holy day. You know, when God created the world in 6 days, the seventh day he rested, and he said on the seventh day you should rest. And the Jews got to the point, especially the religious Jews, where they made it such a law that it was more than people could handle. It was stifling them to the point where they couldn't carry anything. They couldn't work. They couldn't do anything on the Sabbath. It was like growing up in church. When I was growing up in church, and when we came home after church Sunday afternoon, and we had a lunch after church, we couldn't play. We couldn't play. We couldn't go outside to our friends. If our friends came over to see us, our parents would say, no, tell your friends it's Sunday. There's no playing on Sunday. And we got in trouble if we played on Sunday growing up, because we had to have that sacred Sunday afternoon nap, where the Holy Spirit would come and refresh our souls. And as children, you had to learn that you could not play on a Sunday because it was a day of rest. It was a day of rest. It was no different from these men who saw this man and told him, look, you're in disobedience. You're taking up your bed and you're walking. So you can understand the extreme point that it was taken to the point this man, after 38 years, was transformed, and they got upset because he was carrying his mat. In other words, the enemy liked him sitting there. The enemy liked him sitting there. The enemy loves for you to stay in your bondage. He loves for you to remain in your sickness, in your depression, in your sexual sins. He loves for you to stay in your anger and your bitterness and your unforgiveness. He loves you to stay in the pain and the disease. How dare you be healed? How dare you walk? How dare you take up your mat? How dare you get free? on Jesus' timing and not on our timing. How dare you? After 38 years, they wanted him to stay for a 39th year or 40th year. Don't let anything steal the joy of your freedom. Don't let anyone steal the joy of your freedom in Jesus' name. Jesus transforms lives, and he wants to transform your life today. And Jesus looked at the man when he saw the man. He says, look, hey, you're healed. Hey, you're well. Jesus celebrated him. And he went from these miserable people who are getting upset with him because he's carrying his mat. And he saw Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith. And Jesus said, ha ha, you're healed. You're healed. Celebrate, worship, you're healed. You're healed, Jesus said. It doesn't matter what they say, I'm freeing you today. You're well. And then Jesus says to him, hey, buddy, I know you're healed, but go and don't sin anymore. I don't know what you're into before you got into this condition, but don't you dare go back to it. Get rid of whatever it is that you drew you into this, unless the worst thing comes upon you. That means that transformation has to be maintained. Transformation has to be maintained. As you have told those very things in your life to be evicted today, we have to then get in the presence of God. We then have to get into the Word of God. We then have to be in worship before God. We then have to be in prayer before God so that we can maintain what it is that he has done within our lives. Because the Bible says when we are free of something, the enemy goes looking for a place to dwell. And he comes back, and the condition is worse than before. Church, this morning, you have a Savior who has the transforming power to change your life and your situation and the lives of others who need freedom. And he wants to do it. He wants to do it through you. So this week, I want you to do this right now. And even this week, I want you to write down the three biggest areas of your life that need transformation. And don't include anyone else. You know the things that you deal with, things that you struggle with, things that you've been battling for years. Write down the three biggest things. Three biggest things. And all week, I want you to tell those things that is no longer welcomed in your life. Tell those things in the name of Jesus. Tell those things that's no longer welcomed in your house, no longer welcome at your job, is no longer welcome in your mind, is no longer welcome in your body. Evict it in the name of Jesus through the power that is in his name. Jesus is with you to transform your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's pray, let's pray, let's pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. First, if you are here this morning, you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He is speaking to you. He's speaking so clearly to you. He's saying, today, make today your day of salvation. Make today to choose to serve him for the rest of your life. Make today the day where you turn your life over to him, where you believe on his name and you put your whole trust in him. Make today that day. And those of you that are here this morning also, that you need a healing touch, you need to be delivered. You need to be set free. You need to be at peace. Hear me this morning. Hear me this morning. It is not God's will for you to be that way. It is not God's will for you to be in torment or to be battling. It is not God's will. It is not God's will. It is not God's will. God is not punishing you by that sickness. God is not punishing you or trying to make your life miserable to teach you a lesson. No, this is an attack of the devil. God wants me to tell you this morning that you can be free in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So let God reveal to you what a blockage may be. And sometimes it's just unforgiveness. Sometimes it's something we're not even responsible for. Sometimes it's something that someone else has done, a generational curse, things that we've gotten involved in, things that we've entertained, that has been an open door for the enemy to wreak havoc on our lives. But this morning, It doesn't matter how long. Thank you, Father. We praise you, God, that this morning it doesn't matter how long. Jesus, we hear your word.